Welcome to the 12 Days of Marketing, where you will learn the 12 steps to starting the new year with your best marketing potential. Brought to you by Top Advisor Marketing, a done-for-you podcasting solution built for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of the 12 Days of Marketing, Matt Holleran and Kirk Lowe.
Welcome to day 9 of the 12 Days of Marketing. I'm your host for this episode, Kirk Lowe, the founder of Top Advisor Marketing. We're going to talk today about websites. We're going to talk about a role-specific website and how it can work for you and your financial planning practice. The first thing to understand about having a website is its role. What can a website do for your business? What should a website do for your business? The first and most important thing or role of a website in your financial advisory practice is that it act as a marketing hub. Everything comes to and from your website. So let me explain the three most important roles that your website should play. The first one is it should intrigue your audience. Intrigue means that your website needs to tell a great story. You want to start with your small but mighty statement. What I mean by that is, maybe not small, short but mighty statement. Make a statement that says, I'm different, I'm better, and I get you, my ideal audience. And then you want to go on to build your story, improve your brand. That's the second part of intrigue. So the first part of intrigue is telling a great story that's different and better and relevant to your ideal audience. Step two of intrigue is to establish deep and quick credibility. So how do you do that? Most advisors fail miserably at this second part, the first and second part of intrigue, which are two of the most important parts of a website. And I will tell you, most advisors fail miserably here. I'm sorry. It's Christmas and I'm being hard on you, but it is the truth. And if you're going to have a more successful year coming up, you need to embrace this and make sure you do a very good job at it. So the credibility part. Advisors tend to write a lot of content or copy that makes them sound like every other advisor. Trust, integrity. Now we hear a lot about fiduciary, their investment process, how it's better than everybody else's. And what ends up happening is every advisor ends up sounding almost identical to the advisor they're trying to position against or position as better than. So that is a big problem from a marketing perspective. If all the marketing that you're doing makes you sound just like somebody else, or doesn't have a lot of credibility. So how do you establish quick credibility? Well, instead of providing a library of content that is developed, clearly developed by somebody else, because there's thousands of articles and thousands of videos, and most consumers and investors, centers of influence, are going to know that you didn't have time to do all these things, that you paid somebody else to put your wisdom, share your wisdom on the site. So the best way to create credibility is to have your own authentic voice on your website. So we'll talk about that in a second. So intrigue, tell a great story, establish deep and quick credibility. The second role of your website is to engage people. So with all these things I just talked about to prove your brand, or the idea that you have to create credibility and prove your brand, here's some ideas that'll help you achieve that. Have your own blog, not somebody else's articles. Have your own podcast. Do some videos in your office that maybe aren't perfect, but are really thoughtful. Have your own white paper. Create your own checklist. These are not hard things to do. If you don't have your own philosophies, thoughts, ideas on financial planning, then how will people be able to tell that you're the right person for them? You have to share your wisdom and your knowledge as generously as you possibly can. Another good tool that you can do is you can provide an assessment that helps people understand where they're at. I don't see these very often, but I think they're going to become increasingly popular, mostly because advisors and companies are using them as lead capture techniques, but they can also add a lot of credibility. For each of these items I've listed, blog, podcast, video, papers, checklist, assessments, you are going to need a call to action to accompany each so that you can get them to engage. When they engage in your wisdom, that is a definite big step forward in the sales cycle. In this case, we'll call it the marketing cycle. But it's absolutely critical to get people to start experiencing your wisdom and most importantly, your personality, believe it or not. That's why a podcast is maybe a little more powerful than a blog at times, because it's easier for people to understand who you are. Because you let your guard down a little bit more in a podcast than you likely would in a blog. And it's a lot harder to write with personality than it is to speak with personality. So consider that as the new year approaches. The third thing, and really important part of being great or having a great website, is influence. Over time, the most powerful marketing for your business is getting out there, being out there all the time, being out there with the right type of marketing and message and content, so that when somebody's ready to make a decision, you are there in front of them. This does not mean overloading people with information from you. In other words, do not be posting on social media 5 times a day. You may be able to get away with 5 tweets a day, but 5 Facebook posts was not going to work, nor would 5 LinkedIn posts. So what you want to do is make sure that you have a strategy to build influence, to be top of mind with your wisdom, insight, what's going on in your life, what's going on in the community, what's going on with your clients, what's going on with your centers of influence. Bring everything together, share it socially, make sure that your website promotes or connects everybody to your social channels. If you have your social icons as a small link at the very bottom of your site, what does that say? It says, my social is not really that important. If you really, really want to connect with me, go ahead. Make it a big, bold part of your website. Put it right smack in the middle of your homepage, about 2/3 of the way down. Make the buttons big. Make a statement that you want to connect with them socially and that you share regularly. And if you're not sharing regularly, you need to find a way to figure that out. So influence is also about sending emails to people, because not everybody is on social media. I can hear some of you saying, hey, my 65-year-old clients aren't on Facebook every day. Not sure that's true, but if it indeed is, there's still an opportunity to reach them with email. And even if you have an olding or an aging book of business, you still need to understand how to connect with younger people, because they are aging. And that is a huge risk for a financial advisor practice. So start getting out there and building influence. If somebody downloads your white paper, make sure there's an email nurture sequence in place that says, hey, I know you downloaded my paper the other day. Here's a link to it in case you forgot or got distracted, if you want to read it. I'll be sending a couple other important pieces of information, and I look forward to getting to know you more. The second piece goes out, maybe it's a checklist that accompanies that white paper they downloaded. Maybe the third one is a recent podcast episode where you talked about something that builds off of what the paper was on. Maybe in the fourth one you send a blog post that you had written, or something out of the news that really intrigued you. So when you set up these email nurture sequences, they're really casual, really valuable, and they keep you top of mind. Once the email nurture sequence ends, there's opportunities for you to send an email newsletter. What do you put in the email newsletter? Here's my latest two podcasts. This one in particular got a lot of views, a lot of listens, I guess would be a better phrase. So think about ways to connect with people. Think about ways to grab their email addresses. Think about ways to get them connected to you socially. And don't be shy about asking for this stuff. Your job is to educate people on what you can do for them, results and outcomes that you can help them achieve. So now I want to talk a little bit about the anatomy of your website. I like to break down the anatomy of a website into three things. The first one is the navigation, and there are two levels of navigation. The first level of navigation is what I would call a banner nav. That's kind of tucked up tight to the top. It's not your main stuff, but it's important information. So the banner navigation may have something like your phone number, a link to your blog or your podcast, a link to your contact page, and maybe a login page where they can access all their account information. That would be in your banner navigation. That's the very top part. Okay. The main navigation, which is your main website menu, your main pages, should answer these questions. Should probably have 4 to 5 pages. I would not go over 5 pages. The first page should answer, should be what we do. I would ask you not to use our services in most cases, unless you have so many services that that's the best descriptor. Find a way in with your intriguing brand to use different words than what we do. But if you can't be, if you're not able to be that creative, then just put what we do. The next button should be why we do it or why we help. So this should answer stuff like why we do this, why we financial plan, how you got into the business, why it's important to you, something like that. Keep it brief. And why your ideal client should care. What are you going to help them accomplish that they might not otherwise be able to do on their own or with somebody else? So that's the second button in your main navigation. The third should answer how you do it, how you plan on making this happen. Do you have a discipline? Do you have a philosophy? Do you have a process? Make sure they understand and know that. And in all those cases, make sure you diagram it, make it visual, make it tangible. If you list 6 steps in text, it's not nearly as compelling as if you have an artist, a graphic artist, design, and you are thoughtful, and you don't use the same words that everybody else does to describe your process. Be creative here, and make sure they understand how. The next part of this is whom do you work with? Who do you help? Make sure you describe it. And don't just focus on demographics like, you know, people with this much money. That is pretty boring. If that's the only indicator you have, you're probably not going to inspire many people to want to work with you. Talk about the things they love doing that you love doing. Talk about the things that you could have an interest, similar interest in. Talk about values and passions and purpose and things like that. Find people who you're going to get along with, you're going to enjoy working with, and who are going to enjoy you for the same reasons. And the last button, the fifth button on a site, would probably be an About Us or an Our Team section. You can move this up to the top if you don't have a blog or a podcast, but it does get crowded in the banner nav if you move this from the main nav up there. So there are also, those are all the buttons. So that's the first section, the navigation, the anatomy of a website. The next part of the anatomy is the homepage. The homepage is absolutely critical to your success. It determines how much time somebody's going to spend on your website and how quickly they get who you are and why you're better, why you're different, why you're different, why you're better, and why that's important to them. The most important thing is to introduce your inspiring story about who you are, what it means to people. Your small but mighty statement. What is a powerful, compelling statement that you can make that says we're different, we're better, and we get you? Then in the next section of your homepage, you might want to talk about what we do in maybe a sentence or a couple of bullet points. Again, brief, but a little more detailed than that opening statement. In the third, fourth, and fifth section of your website, you want to talk about credibility. Here's a white paper. Here's my most recent blog post, my most recent podcast. Here's a really important video I did. So there's all kinds of interesting things that you can do here. So that credibility section, you might have 1 to 3, and they should each have a call to action to engage or download or visit or listen or watch. That's a really important section to have. The next idea here is your footer. This is the third part of the anatomy. This is where you can put all your calls to action, or you can have your contact information. You want to make sure it's easy for people to say yes to stuff. So if somebody comes to your website, is instantly blown away with all the stuff that you're doing, working on, and they want to contact you, make it easy for them to find that button. So put all your contact information at the bottom of every page. Make sure your phone number is at the top, like we talked about earlier, and make sure there's a button to go to a contact info page too. So again, the anatomy of a website is navigation, having a strong homepage, and footer. And obviously each of your pages, you're going to want to have good information on what you do, but not too much information. That's it for today's role-specific website for a financial advisory practice. Today was day 9 of the 12 Days of Marketing. Have a great day.